Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360. On May 20th, 2016, live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on mission, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I would be doing better if it wasn't so gray out.
Gray May.
It gets to me.
Yeah.
Isn't there some sort of a syndrome when you don't get enough sun?
Yes, absolutely. They have that in Scandinavian countries, I think.
Well, we got it here in the South Bay too.
Yes. Of course, the sun can be kind of gone for 6 months, and the midnight sun.
Oh, right, where they don't have daylight. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wonky up there. It's like 6 months of total darkness and 6 months of all sunshine.
Yeah, something like that.
A little strange. Well, fortunately, we only have to deal with it for several weeks in May and June. But, I can still complain about it.
Well, it's still a very exciting time. Looking forward to visiting with the Life Force people, the Pregnancy Help Center.
Oh, yeah. Did you get your T-shirt?
I got my T-shirt.
Yes, good for you.
I got my number. I got my badge or bracelet.
For the walk, yeah.
Yes, for the walk, so I'm ready.
Well, do you want to hear what I did last night?
What?
I went to the kickoff for the El Segundo Art Walk.
Oh, really?
Yes, they had a kickoff event. Remember, last year was the first time they did this.
Right.
And this year they had a kickoff event. They had it at South Bay Customs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the motorcycle place.
Right. Love
yeah.
That place.
How cool is that space? So it was a kickoff, and they invited the venue owners,
right?
The artists,
right?
The sponsors. This year they're having sponsors,
right?
And people like me. The hangers-on. So I went over there last night, and this is so funny. I walked in the door, and the first person I saw was an old friend of mine, Kevin Gilligan.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my mixed martial arts instructors.
Okay.
And he is also an artist. He's a photographer. And over the years... photography started out, I think, as a hobby for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a full time job, and he has a website with his photography on it, and he's very good.
Mm.
And over the years, whenever I get a call for artists for the different art shows, I forward him the information. I say, hey, you should submit your stuff. Why not? You know,
mm-hmm.
What can it hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Submit your stuff. And he's been accepted to some of these big shows in the area. So last night I walked in the door, and the first person I see is him.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and I'm trying to put it like, what are you doing here? I'm thinking in my head, what is Kevin doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And the light bulb went off, and I went, did you submit work to this event? And he kind of had a little grin, and he kind of nodded.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, did you get accepted? And the big smile, and he nodded. And then, of course, I pushed him up across the room. I said, get out of here. You didn't even tell me. So that was exciting. And Holly Socrates was there and you know, putting the whole thing together and her team. And so anyway, this year, it's the third Thursdays this summer. The event will take place June 16th, July 21st, and August 18th from 5 to 9 p.m. each night in the downtown and Smoky Hollow districts of El Segundo. And you know that this was the event of the summer last year, right?
Yeah, it was great.
It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to meet a bunch of the artists last night. There are going to be new venues this year. It's going to, you know, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan of this event. It's a great event. Last year, remember we went to the first one.
Right, right.
We met downtown at Holly's studio and, Moto Art and South Bay Customs and Big Door Studios and Sleepy Hollow Studios and Otis and I can't remember the other name, the photographer studio, Otis and something and, Tyler Surfboards and, So they've got new venues this year, and it's going to be fantastic.
That's great. Exciting. A kickoff event.
Yes, it was a kickoff event.
Oh.
And it was amazing to me because, you know me. I work the room. I go around. I talk to everybody. And 90% of the people there didn't go last year.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they didn't know about it. They didn't go. And even the artists. I met a bunch of the artists, and I said, oh, what venue are you in? And they know what venue they're going to be in, but they haven't been there.
Right.
You know,
right.
So somebody said to me, oh, I'm in Big Door Studios. I'm like, oh, great venue, you know. And So I was explaining to a lot of people last night, you know, what it's all about. So can't wait. June 18th, less than a month away. June 16th, less than a month away, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody listening, put it on your calendars. You don't want to miss this.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun, and you see some very interesting spaces that if you haven't frequented El Segundo, you wouldn't know exist.
Well, it's interesting because the premise is what Holly and her team have done is they find creative spaces and they match them with an artist.
Mm.
So the artist will play their work in these spaces, which are not open to the public.
Right.
You know, these aren't necessarily businesses you can just walk into,
right.
You know, on Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, you know, unless you do business with them or you have an appointment or something. The art is only half of this.
Mm-hmm.
The venues is the other half. It's great. It's great. So that's all I can say about it. It's great.
Yeah.
Big,
I agree.
Big fan.
Well, that's exciting. Good for you.
Yeah, so anyway.
That's funny.
Onward and upward to the show.
All right. Well, we're going to have a great show today talking about something that, you know, I still think, Jackie, a lot of people are just confused and really don't know about Pilates. They've heard it, of course. They know the word, but they really don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk with Tracy again, Tracy Coe, about Codynamics.
Yeah, we spoke with her back in February.
Right.
And she knows Pilates. I mean, there's more to it than, you know, what as you said, most people know and understand. So
yeah, I think so. It's
so as you mentioned, we have a returning guest this morning, Tracy Coe, founder of Codynamics, located in Manhattan Beach. Tracy packaged a 7-year business education and career with an extensive education in Pilates certification, medical conditioning specialist certification, physical therapy assistance, and her consistent personal health and fitness to fulfill a passion of guiding people to achieve their goals of physical fitness and wellness. In 2003, Tracy established Codynamics Pilates Studio, which also offers TRX fitness, wellness, and nutrition services. She is also certified as a quantum nutritional practitioner and offers one-on-one wellness coaching. Now, while focusing on a nutrient-dense diet and creating superior bioenergetics in her clients' surrounding environments, Tracy custom tailors individual wellness and nutrition programs using a cutting-edge testing technique, quantum reflex analysis. She has distinguished herself as a certified wellness and quantum nutrition practitioner in the South Bay, both as a public speaker and working with individual clients targeting specific health issues and guiding them to a life of vitality, energy, improved flexibility, physical transformation, mental sharpness, restful sleep, and peace in mind. So this morning, Tracy is going to speak about Pilates and the principles that should follow when practicing Pilates. That's breath, concentration, centering, control, flow, precision, to achieve the full benefits of quality functional movement, improved posture, toning, de-stress, injury prevention, and reducement of joint aches and pains. We're going to get Tracy on the line now, right?
Yes, we are.
You have the number, right?
I do.
All right, let's get her back.
Let's get her back. Tracy
had a class this morning, so we couldn't get her on the line.
Survey.
Before, you know, we normally get people on the line before the show starts. She had a class.
Hello?
Hey, Tracy, it's
and
Joe and Jackie.
Welcome back to the show, Tracy.
Thank you. Good to be back.
All right, great. Do you have a volume control on your phone?
You know what? I did try to bring the bass doesn't.
Oh,
so that's the only thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Guys, speak up so we can all hear you.
Okay. Is that any better?
Yes.
Better, yes.
Okay. Okay, great. I will do that.
Well, we've introduced you, and I think people are really impressed. It was a fantastic introduction.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome, Tracy Coe, to the South Bay Show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Nice to be on board and see what questions I can answer for you.
And right at the top, Tracy, I'd like to say to people out there, if you have questions about Pilates or about fitness in general, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Tracy's just coming off of a program, but I'm sure she would love to answer your questions, and we'd love to have some questions from the audience. So, Jackie, where do we begin?
Well, back in February when we had Tracy on, we spoke, about the basics.
Right.
So today we're going to focus. We're going to get a little more into it. What I mentioned about. Let me get my notes here. It's a. Principles that should be followed when practicing Pilates. It's not just about getting on a reformer and moving. You got to concentrate on your breathing, control, flow, precision. So let's start there. Let's start right there, Tracy.
Well, that's wonderful. Good minds think alike, because that's exactly what was going to my head before I started to pick up this phone call. So thank you. So yeah, there's six primary principles. Some of them expanded them to eight, but I definitely stick to the six primary principles that Pilates, the movements of Pilates, and the was built upon. And as you had mentioned, it's breath, concentration, control, centering, flow, and precision. And almost a little bit in that order, as you learn Pilates, as you learn it, it almost becomes like a stepping stone, right? You learn one step, two steps, three steps, and you keep moving it up as you and you build them together to bring that upon. And the reason those principles are so important is basically, you know, most people say, "Oh, Pilates, that works your core, right?" Yes, definitely works your core, but it's really a whole body. Inside and outside movement philosophy in order to build strength for your body, to build more range of motion, what people would call flexibility for the body, as well as toning the body. So breath is really important, not only just in Pilates, but in the outside world. And the breathing that is educated in the Pilates is called the technical term is posterior lateral ribcage breathing. So that's basically just trying to expand the lungs in the casing of your ribs. And most people breathe up in the chest, which creates a lot of tightness up in the neck and the upper traps. Also will cause a lot of tightness in your lower back because your ribcage is unable to move like it's supposed to. In addition to breathing being important in Pilates, what it does is the breath actually helps you connect or contract your core muscles when you're properly breathing. outside of that, breathing is really important in an efficient way. Well, we have to breathe to live, number one. But also, when you're efficiently breathing into that rib cage, that takes your body into a natural state of calmness. So, in actuality, it can be more of a stress reliever as well with that. And it also helps pump oxygen into your blood system. And your blood system, when it lacks oxygen, most people will feel what's called a lactic acid buildup, so a burning of the muscles. So there's many, many purposes for the breath, and we really try to use them all during the Pilates movements here and focus on that.
Breathing is so important, and I'll be honest with you, it's not something that I'm even close to mastering yet. You know,
it takes practice. I mean,
it
think
does.
How long you have breathed the way you do breathe.
Yeah, and as you say, it to me, it's like I do it. I shallow breathe. You know, as you said, you're not taking it deep, taking it from where it should be taken. It's just shallow breathing. And you know, when I'm working out, when I'm doing my yoga and stuff, you know, and we're doing movements, and they say, okay, exhale, inhale, and occasionally. Correctly. Joe, do you have any idea what we're talking about?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. I mean, this is when I was in high school, I was a wrestler, and breathing is critical, or you're going to pass out to keep your muscles operating properly and to prevent lactic acid buildup from shutting your body down. And yet, it's something, Tracy, that when you're wrestling, you can remember because you've got an opponent. Your adrenaline is running, and you're sort of running on autopilot, doing what you were trained to do. But it's not something that you do when you're, for instance, I sit all day at a computer terminal, and several of us now in our company have standing desks.
Excellent.
And another aspect of this is everybody's talking about how sitting is the new smoking. Have you heard this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think that's in one of my articles, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's So just sitting there for 5 hours straight or 3 hours straight before you go to lunch is deadly. You've got to get up every 20 minutes is supposedly the number. Every 20 minutes, you have to get up off your duff and take a lap around the office.
Or just even stand up and, you know, pump the legs a little bit. Yeah, it's so true. And then, as you had mentioned with the breath, that, and both of you, where you said you have to, you know, if you have to actually intently think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where your concentration comes into practice in the second principle of Pilates. So it does, especially for our first-time people, I feel bad for them because they're like, oh, my gosh, this takes so much thought to do this. And, yes, it does. It is a mind-body practice. The body will do what it's trained to do. But so it takes that mind to be the power machine to say, okay, we're not going to do it that way anymore, and we need to figure out how we're going to do this more effectively and more efficiently. So it does take a lot of mental practice, especially when you're in your habitual roles, such as sitting at your desk, driving in the car, getting aggravated at the, you know, at the person that's in front of you or beside you. It takes a mental practice to bring that breath in to into your world, into your life. And then the second part with the breath and how it connects into the other principle is the control. So breath, again, the way we look at it is the way I've looked at it as I've been trained, and it makes a lot of sense, is you have your primary core muscles. It's kind of a group of four. It's your breathing. It's your low stomach muscle called the transverse abdominis. It's pelvic floor muscles, and it's also muscles on your backside called multifidi. Mm-hmm. And all those four muscles should be working as a team. And your breath actually helps initiate, when you're properly breathing, your breath actually helps initiate the contraction of those other muscles. So in terms of the control principle of Pilates, when you're getting ready to execute a motion before you move, you want your breath first and let your movement follow that. Mm-hmm. And so that does take control in the mind and concentration to put all those factors together.
You got to think about breathing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
That it is. It's usually the first homework I give all the clients that come through here.
Wow. That's great. That's
okay, I'm just going to sit here and breathe.
I'm breathing too.
I'm breathing.
It's going to be a very quiet session.
And then the second principle we're going to talk about is concentration, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So breathing involves concentration, as Jackie pointed out. You have to think about it.
Right.
But next comes concentration. What's
wait a
that
minute. Wait a minute. Before wait.
Yeah.
No, I don't think about breathing. Do you think about breathing?
No, I don't.
So it's not easy. I mean, what Tracy's saying is, if you're going to breathe correctly, first you have to learn how to do it.
Right.
Right.
You know, I mean, it comes naturally to us. We don't think we breathe. If we don't breathe, we're dead, right?
Right.
Right.
So we don't think about it. But what she's saying is that if you want to breathe correctly, it's something you have to learn how to do.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
But it involves concentration. But
right.
There's a separate, the second principle is concentration, which I assume is a whole different principle.
I guess you have to have the concentration before you can breathe.
Right.
Right, okay.
Like,
all
you
right.
know, and yeah, and the, well, and the principles all kind of go hand in hand, but you kind of have to start somewhere, right? So,
right.
So yes, you're both correct. Breathing requires concentration. Concentration is required for breathing, right? Kind of goes hand in hand.
I see.
And again, so as Jackie had mentioned in the beginning, it's not just about getting on a machine and moving your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how are you going to execute your movements. Again, the body will do what it's naturally trained to do. If you're naturally trained to do leg presses, well, when you get on the reformer, which is the name of one of the pieces of equipment are, and that's the one that has a carriage bed that slides back and forth that most people lie on, which people love Pilates. That's how we really get them into Pilates. Like, you get to lie down most of the time. So, like, I love this. But when they get on that piece, we're actually asking them to move that piece quite differently than what they would normally want to. Normally, they'd want to push off their feet for footwork, we'll say. They would normally just want to push off their feet, move your carriage in and out. And, yeah, you get some quad buildup, but what's going on with the torso of the body? What's going on with the spine? Mm-hmm. Are you smashing your back into the carriage and making a lot more compression where you already have compression at? Are you engaging your core muscles while you're doing it? So, again, before you execute that movement, mentally you're focusing, and usually I give a couple of areas for a client or a class to focus on before they start moving.
Okay.
And to feel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so didn't we talk about this last time about how our bodies are constantly under pressure just simply because of gravity? Did we talk about that last time?
I don't think so, but you're correct. I mean,
yeah.
You're absolutely correct.
Remember, Joe, I was telling you I was reading about Kelly, the astronaut that went into space for a year. Is it Mark or Scott?
It's Mark, and the twin is Scott, I believe.
Right, okay. So Mark Kelly, astronaut Mark Kelly, was up
right.
in space for a year.
Right.
And when he came back, he was like an inch and a half or an inch and three quarters taller.
Right.
Because there's no gravity up there, so his spine wasn't compressing.
Right.
His body wasn't compressing. So, and I've heard this from a lot of people, Tracy. I've heard people say that they've actually gotten taller doing Pilates.
Well, that's why I first went into it. I'm 4'10", so any kind of height I can get, I'm excited about.
But yes,
they have. What they do is they actually help. They strengthen their muscles in an elongated fashion. It's called eccentric contraction or eccentric strengthening. So they do. They will end up standing up taller or holding themselves up taller. And so that's where they get that extra height from.
Okay, I got to do this, Joe. I can stand to get a couple inches.
Wow, that's very interesting. And this is common, Tracy?
Very, very common, yes, absolutely. Because what you're doing is you're creating muscle strength
mm-hmm.
to hold yourself up against resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity is, you know, pulling us down. Our opposition would be to hold ourselves up. And it's also a matter of how you're holding yourselves up. You know, if it's just with your chin, you're just going to crank your neck and get neck spasms. But when it comes from the center of the body, the core of the body, which surrounds your spine, your vertebrae, get more space between them. So there's less compression going on your disc.
That is fascinating.
You never heard that?
I never heard that you get taller when you practice Pilates, no.
Yeah, I've heard that from almost everybody I know that does it.
Wow.
And that whole principle is really why a lot of people who have back issues
mm-hmm.
are kind of one of the first ones to hear about Pilates. They're like, oh, I heard Pilates is good for my back.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes, because you're learning how to contract your core muscles to hold yourself up.
Mm-hmm. But again, these are not things that people have to focus on. They just become habitually standing straight.
So yeah, so the goal is, again, that 21-day factor, it takes 21 consecutive days to create a new habit. So when you're coming to Pilates, most people come to Pilates 1, 2, 3 times a week,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's only 1 hour, a 55-minute session. So I'm asking them, hey, when you walk out this door, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you're, sitting at your desk, sitting at your car, standing up in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
So you're inducing a new habit into the body, but it has to be practiced
mm-hmm.
in order for that body to pick up that habit. So, and it's amazing how well a once a week or twice a week session can hold on for that entire week. 2 hours out of a week of how many hours? I'm not good with the math right there.
mm-hmm.
But 2 hours a week has made such a difference in so many people's lives that they feel great throughout the entire week, myself included.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think it's 168 hours in a week.
Thank you.
All told.
So, yeah, two of those 168 hours can make you feel really good for that whole week.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a very small percentage. It's less than 2%, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. when we spoke back in February and Tracy was giving us the history of Pilates, and very early on, it caught on with dancers. I think it was ballet dancers.
Mm-hmm.
If you just think about it, look at the way a dancer walks. They're upright. Their shoulders are back. Their head is up. Their chin is up and out. Because
mm-hmm.
they do that all. That's what we should all look like.
That's definitely part of their training. Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then that kind of ties in also with the training of. The next principle of control, or another principle, which is control. So a lot of dancers have very large ranges of motion with their limbs. Now it's a matter, okay, they have this flexibility, but are they controlling that range of motion? Because that can be very inhibiting to the body, as well as having very large ranges of motion, but no control of the muscles over the joints and the ligaments.
Mm.
And so... but that also comes into play with, with the layperson, the non-dancer. Do they have the control over their body to execute the motions, or the control to stay centered or move one part of their body with, maintaining the rest of the body in a position?
Mm-hmm. And is this primarily, is this just part of the mental training? Is it a physical principle, the concept of control?
It's definitely both. So again, you got to have that concentration, but the control, yes. So what is my mind trying to connect to in my body to create the control while I'm standing on one leg and one arm to hold myself up? Or the control to, flex my spine and send my legs overhead without crashing down into my back.
Mm.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be when done correctly.
Again, my yoga experience, same thing.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't know if you've ever tried, any kind of yoga, but just standing on one leg
mm-hmm.
and bringing your arms out and trying to bring your leg back,
mm-hmm.
it's not easy. It's not easy. That's why they call it practice.
I like the concept of yoga. I think I'd like to try it. Haven't really tried it, but I did do, you know, I was a practitioner of Kung Fu when I lived in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some exercises that were similar to yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And yeah, there's a lot of, so Pilates is built off of a lot of various practices, martial arts, animal movements.
Mm-hmm.
When Joe created the movements, he observed a lot of other forms of movements, both in the animal world and the human world.
Interesting. Joe, we got to do a station break.
Oh, it's that time already.
It flies.
That time already, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a wonderful discussion. I hope you with Tracy Coe of Coe Dynamics, located in Manhattan Beach, because we had Tracy on before and we covered all the basics. If you want to refer to that show, please just search for Tracy Coe at thesouthbayshow.com. You can just search for her and you'll get part one. But if you have questions or if you have comments, we'd love to have you. Please call in at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Operators are standing by. I've always wanted to say that.
We got a bank of operators, yeah.
We're not going to go to commercial. We're just going to go forward and say, Tracy, this is really a fascinating discussion as we go through these principles. We've covered breathing and concentration, breathing, concentration. We've talked a little bit about control. What's next?
So then we're into centering is another principle of Pilates. And most of us have areas in our body that are weaker and that are stronger for various reasons, again, habits or different injuries or just, just our environment or our culture. You know, sitting at a desk, we use our right hand for the mouse and we put the headset in our left ear. That causes, deviation in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times the practice of Pilates will challenge asymmetric movement while you're trying to obtain symmetry. So, for example, you move one leg at a time. So one leg is extending up in the air or out in front of you while you're lying on your back, and the other leg is staying in a bent position while you're trying to maintain your core, your torso, trying not to lean off to a side, right? You're going to try to stay nice and centered on your carriage while you're moving the legs in a separate motion or the arms, so on and so forth. And again, that's engaging the core, the center of the body, in order to help find that centering of your alignment. So a lot of people who are like, I would like to have better posture, a lot of it comes from the centering, or I'd like to have better flexibility. Again, that comes a lot from centering the body, that you're not, sitting in one hip more than the other, or hiking up one shoulder more than the other, finding muscles that can help put symmetry back into your body.
Hmm.
Joe, are you sitting at your desk? Are you sitting up straighter? Are you bringing your shoulders back? Or is your head lifted? Is your chin out?
No, I'm slumped.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening, and I'm trying to make sure my spine is centered, and I'm sitting on both buttocks and all this other fun stuff. Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough, especially if you work at a desk. I haven't tried the standing desk yet, but if you're sitting at a desk, it's tough to stay in a proper posture.
JB has one.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, at his office, yeah. I remember when they brought them in, and the first couple of days he was like, yeah, my feet are tired.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if he's using it. I'll have to ask him. I haven't heard much about it, so I'll have to ask him about that.
It's all the rage now.
Yeah, I'd like to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway.
It's comfortable. You don't have to do it 100% of the time. Just even if you did it half of the day, it would be a huge benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it definitely would be.
Yeah, so it's not about having to stand for 8 hours, no.
Well, what it does is it breaks you out of your habit, too.
Right.
Right. So then you're, you know, you're activating the body a little differently as well.
Right.
As she says, as my shoulders fall back and my chest comes out, and I'm taking deep breaths.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get healthy right here on the radio.
I'm working.
Live.
It can be done. The mind is very powerful.
Yes, yes. We are just a society that is involved in so many different things. I mean, people talk about being busy, but they also talk about, you know, being stressed out at work and, you know, driving. I remember when my wife talked about, you know, having the kids going from this practice to that practice to this practice, she was at work, her part-time job, and then she was in the car for like 4 hours driving the kids from here to there to everywhere and then picking them up. So it's not just sitting at your desk working, it's being in the car all the time, isn't it? Can you do something in the car similar to yoga or Pilates?
Well, a couple of things I was going to mention is in terms of being, well, in the car you can definitely find your breathing, especially when you're starting to get stressed, you know, whether it's like, oh, I got to be there, I got to get there, or, you know, breathing is excellent to help calm the nerves. But well, also, just by sitting in the car, you can find, if you are familiar with how to contract the lower core muscles to help you sit while you're sitting in that car for a long period of time. That can take pressure off your hips. So a lot of people that have sciatica that go down the legs, just a matter of contracting the core muscles can help take pressure off the sciatica nerve, which is in the spine, that happens to run down the leg. So, yeah, contraction of the core. Again, eventually you want to build habit into those core muscles. You know, the core muscles aren't going to stay on 24/7, but they, when you work them properly, you're not, when you work the core muscles, you're not working them at a level 10, like, you know, you're lifting, you know, this 150, 200, whatever, 300 pounds overheads over your weight. You're working the muscles on a scale 1 to 10. You're trying to find a firing contraction probably around 5, 6, and then when they're on during the day, they're around a 3, 4, 5 level. So you're building endurance on the muscles. You're building strength, but you're also building endurance, not wipeout mode with them. So just by contracting the muscles while you're in your core, and the core can help take pressure off the back. Another thing that you mentioned that's not a part of the principles, but emotions can play a huge role in our body posture and position. And, you know, when we're, you know, stressed or run down, that will show up in how you are holding your body as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we need to establish a new regimen for people that are in particular places, like cars, where you might be for a significant portion of your day, so that you can focus and be mindful about practicing these principles while you're in the car. I think that would be great. I know.
You know, this is totally off topic, but when I was a kid, my parents didn't drive me anyplace.
No?
I got everywhere on my own. Either I walked or I got on a bus or I got on the subway or something. I mean, my parents didn't drive us anyplace. Yeah. Of course, we had alternate side of the street parking in New York, and when my father found a good spot for the car,
he ain't moving.
He wasn't moving it for nothing. Believe me.
You were more active, right? You were moving. The body was meant to move. It wasn't meant to be sedentary. And I think that, you know, you mentioned being in a car, and sometimes it's something that we can't avoid. But you can think, how many times could you really avoid, like, going up to that store that's right around the block? Could you walk there?
Yeah.
Instead of drive there. Down out here, it's amazing how many times I walk down to the beach and hardly anybody's there. This is I'm living in Manhattan Beach. There's millions of people still live here, right?
Right.
I'm like, I have it to myself. This is awesome, but there should be other people out around here, you know? Just walking or just being, you know, being in the sunlight. So I think we have we have succumbed to society, and I think it requires us to, in ourselves, to say, okay, what am I going to do a little different today in my life so I can get better movement, so I can feel better, so I can get movement, period.
Right.
It's about choices.
I always think about it now you got to live like a shark. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. If you're not moving, you're dead, right?
Right.
It becomes a very hard life.
Got to keep moving. If you're not moving, you're in trouble.
Well, I hope we're centered now. And if we are...
Wait, let me get my shoulders back.
Let's get centered.
Get the chest out and the shoulders back. Take a deep breath.
Now we have to flow.
Flow, correct. So another principle of Pilates is flow. So your movements, I know the clients are working extremely hard when they're making their movements look very easy.
Hmm.
So, or not, making, weird faces, right? They can still smile and they're moving without making it look hard. I know they're working very hard. So in Pilates, it's about getting another piece and advantage of it. It's about taking pressure off your joints. So you're not wearing the joints out, whether it be in your shoulder girdle, your knees, your hips, your ankles, your wrists, your necks, and your spine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are constantly pushing out a movement and forcing it to go, more than likely there's a lot of pressure going somewhere in the joints of the body. When you are engaging the core and allowing the body to move fluidly, or, I work with a lot of visuals with people in terms of how to help them engage different muscles or how to create motion in their body rather than just move a carriage or move their body back and forth, and to create flow in their body. So a lot of times, for example, your extension and flexion of your knee, there's actually should be spiral activity going on in the body as well. So the fascia of the body has a form of a rotational motion that goes on, which allows the joints to glide better in either their sockets or in their hinges.
Right.
I know exactly what she's talking about, Joe. Do you?
The flow, kind of.
Well, okay. Have you ever seen a yoga class? If you haven't done it,
sure.
Have you? Okay.
On TV.
Okay. All right. So when you're going from one pose to another, that's the flow she's talking about, they make it look easy.
Transitions. Your transition.
Yes. They make it look easy because, I do this now, and there's a lot of positions I don't get into easy. You can it's rough, it's uncoordinated, it's not pretty.
Right.
Let me even break it down a little bit more, and maybe you haven't. I'm very observant of people because I work with bodies all the time, but just watching people walk.
Mm.
Have you seen somebody walk and you look at them and you're like, wow, they got to be in a lot of pain?
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Walking and they're, walking and they're walking very gracefully, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take an observation. So that person who's walking gracefully may not necessarily be using the core, but more than likely it's probably using muscles to help their movement flow a lot better. And you can see it actually in different forms of Pilates practices too. Because Pilates has expanded in different ways, there's a lot of now power Pilates and things of that nature. Some of them definitely should hopefully continue the flow practice. But then even with new people, new clients that come here, the principle of flow is not in their head. They don't understand it either, Joe, so you're not alone, right? So it is a learning process, but it becomes a mental, it actually has to start kind of in the mental capacity. Okay, well, how am I supposed to do this? And, and so sometimes it's a sensation. Are you hurting during this movement?
Mm-hmm.
And, in a bad way, are you hurting your back? Is your knee hurting? Is your hip hurting? Okay, then we're not doing it correctly, right?
Right.
When those joints aren't hurting, that's your beginning of flowing practice because you're supporting yourself and you're moving fluidly in the joint. But I would challenge you to go start watch. What the flow is about.
I find that I find some great walkers on the beach. You know how your heel just naturally extends out and sinks first when you're walking in the sand, and apparently that's the healthiest way to have a gait. And I find a lot of healthy walkers on the beach, which is interesting. Obviously,
definitely many things that come into that. One of it is you're actually getting energy from the earth.
Mm.
So with your bare foot in connection with that, so that's a whole different subject, topic, which is an awesome topic, and everybody should try to at least have their feet in the sand for a while if you have that opportunity to be out there. But also being in the sand takes pressure off your joints as well.
Yeah, again, going back to the dancers, if you know somebody that's a dancer, if you ever see them walk, it's like they're walking on air. It's effortless. It's graceful. It's effortless.
Right. Yes. It looks effortless.
Yes. 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 But as you
it's
said,
very, very, very deceiving. I can guarantee you those dancers are out there on stage.
Yeah.
Do you prescribe people to do things like walk on the beach when a client has specific issues, Tracy?
I always give clients homework.
Mm.
So whether they do it or not is a different, and I praise them when they do. I truly do. I definitely would suggest, hey, if you need to practice on your breathing, this is where how you can practice. Get outside, get some sunlight, get your feet in the sand. Walk on the sand if you can't walk on pavement. Swim in a pool. I always am giving some form of homework. Again, they're only here, 55 minutes out of, how many hours you had said in the week?
168, yeah.
There you go. And so it's going to require practice in other forms as well, in your daily movement activities, daily living activities.
Right, of course. I think my wife would love it if I took her to the beach every day. She would love that.
I could deal with homework like that.
Yeah?
Yes. Pleasant homework. You can sign it to yourself as well.
Right, right. I think I will. Today is a beach day. Today.
Yeah. Even though it is May gray still, it's still pretty out there.
And, I think Jackie and I were talking a little bit before the show about the general sort of view of Pilates from people that have never really understood it or studied it. Everybody, I think, knows the word Pilates, but they don't really know about it. We covered a lot of the history and how Pilates came to being in the first show. But when you talk about this last principle, talk a little bit about how that relates to the whole world of Pilates, precision.
Well, I think it encompasses almost all the other principles. Precision is about, defined. It's, it's quality and, accuracy. And without those other principles, it's impossible to have quality as well as the accuracy of Pilates. So I think, if you were scaling these, this would probably be one of the last principles that you're aiming to achieve is the precision or the quality of your movement. Kind of goes into that flow. You're looking for the flow, the quality of it. How? What are you using to move your body? What are you using to control the body? And then even in terms of, is your breath connected? Again, is your breath connected with the movement? And the control of it as well. So it encompasses all of them at the same time. And you're looking for it to look easy.
Right.
I used to have a T-shirt. I had T-shirts I used to, and I can't remember the exact saying, but it was something like, I love Pilates, You know, it's really easy unless you're doing it right.
You know, Joe, you and I should probably go by Tracy's studio sometime and just try this, just to see how hard it is.
Yeah.
I would love for you to come by.
I think we should
have a blast. We do laugh too in Pilates. I love my job. I love laughing with my clients. Now, I'm not laughing at them. We are all laughing together, and many times it's mostly at me. So.
Yeah. No, that's something that there's so many Pilates studios around, and I've done one or two Pilates classes, Tracy, but it wasn't what you're talking about. It's not what you're, you know, the stuff that I've experienced is not what you're speaking of.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the practices, you know, have been altered, and there is, again, there's classical Pilates, there's power Pilates. I don't typically go by those because it's really hard to teach someone who's had hip surgery or hip replacement, classical Pilates, right? Power Pilates as well, right? Now you can get power out of your movement, especially when you have those principles going on. There's a lot of power going to the movement. But, you know, it's a matter of education as well. If you don't have the education, you're just moving.
And
not only are you just moving in your Pilates practice, but you're not bettering how you are feeling out of the Pilates room in your living daily activities. But when you have that education, when you're educating the brain and the body, you can make changes in your life.
There you go.
Yes.
All right.
There's more to it than just moving.
Correct. Yes, lots more to it.
Okay. I love that. Now,
I was just envisioning us trying to do a live show from a Pilates studio. That would be funny.
That would be funny.
It would be a lot of grunting.
That would be quite a challenge.
We could rate the grunts.
I have to say, just kind of building on to what, taking Pilates out into your world, I love when people come back and say, you know what, I went on a vacation to Europe, we walked all over the place, normally my back would kill me and I would need to take a lot of breaks, and you know what, I was able to walk 8 hours that day, and I did a little stretching, you know, I did a little breathing, whatever, and I felt great. I was ready to go up to the next day, and it, countless times we've had that, or, you know, just someone who has had some kind of surgery and is done with their therapy, you know, and they still want to, you know, they need to strengthen more, you know, and they're feeling less pressure in their knee, you know, and we're keeping their body moving, like, or getting them back into running because they had to take off for so long because of an injury they've had. It's really quite amazing work.
Now, you know, we have to say, I mean, Pilates has transitioned in many ways from a practice designed by someone who did Joseph Pilates have medical training?
To my knowledge, I haven't heard that he's had a formal medical certification. I know his parents were both in some form of medical practice.
I
can't name them specifically what they are without looking it up. But he was ahead of his time. I mean, what this guy knew and how he studied has been way beyond his time. Now, a lot of it has, in the modern days, has been researched a lot and studies. There's a lot of independent studies that have been created that talks about getting space between the vertebrae, getting height, that has shown how the contraction of your core muscles actually, you know, looks like a nice internal back brace of the body and supports the lower back. So there's been, in the modern day, there's definitely have been a lot of studies. And with that study, obviously, there has been changes as well. And because you're seeing and you're understanding better, hey, what is this actually doing with the body?
It seems like Pilates has become what I would term orthodoxy. It's no longer one of those kinds of practices that is either tolerated or just, it is a standard part of the American, I think, health system. I mean, you have doctors doing it, you have astronauts doing it. You have, you know, people in positions that indicate that they are setting the standard for
mm-hmm.
others.
Lots of athletes are doing it.
Mm-hmm. For whom health is business. An athlete, health is business. Their livelihood and the livelihoods of their teams are based on them staying healthy, and Pilates is often recommended by professional trainers for major sports teams.
Correct.
So that's quite a transition for Pilates, that it's no longer something, you know, on the fringe. It's really a sort of a standard tool in the toolbox.
Yes, it's definitely become very well known around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pilates Method Alliance is a international not-for-profit organization that's kind of you're not required to be, you know, a member of them at all, but they actually help, number one, educate both teachers as well as the people of the community about what Pilates is. And spread the word of it. And literally, Pilates is practiced all around the world. The lady that I originally was educated and trained and certified with, Marie-José Blum, she actually goes to Japan quite a few times out of the year, and she's educating doctors, physical therapists, and many other practices in Pilates are doing that as well. Balanced Body has a wonderful university. Polestar Pilates, all of these have done a lot of research and are continuing to spread the word in various forms of ways to the, you know, health of the community.
Hmm. Hmm. And it really hasn't been that long, has it? I'm looking at the PilatesMethodAlliance.org, their website, and they say, over the past 15 years, much of the developed world has experienced the explosion in demand for Pilates. Pilates is a method of exercise and physical movement designed to stretch, strengthen, and balance the body with systematic practice of specific exercises coupled with focused breathing patterns. Mm-hmm. Pilates has proven itself invaluable not only as a fitness endeavor, but also as an important adjunct to professional sports training and physical rehabilitation of all kinds. You're a part of the establishment now.
Yeah, and it's very exciting. I remember when I first started, when I just had graduated from my certification program, it was about, you know, 14 years ago. I remember, you know, PMA, the Pilates Meth Alliance, was just really getting up and running and starting to spread the word. It's been a blessing to be able to be a part of that education and to experience it and help deliver the education to the community as many ways as I can, throughout this this community, and even just around into the school systems. I was a part of the Pilates Method Alliance, and they built a Pilates and Teens youth program as well.
Yeah, it's amazing to have you on the program, Tracy, because it's really become quite historical fact that Pilates works, and I hope more people get a chance to experience it. Codynamics, C-O-E, Codynamics, it's codynamics.com, is it?
Correct, yep. Mm-hmm.
C-O-E, codynamics.com. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on, and a pleasure to be able to hopefully share some principles to people who aren't really sure what Pilates is. And I encourage you all to try out a class, but also educate where you're going to be going for your class and see if they follow those principles.
Or is it co-dynamics.com?
You could find it either way.
Either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, Tracy Coe, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Joe and Jackie. It was a pleasure to be on. You enjoy that beach day today.
Yes. All right. Okay. Beach day today, Jackie.
All right. I'll get out there.
Thanks, Jackie. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Have a great weekend, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a little bit rainy, but maybe drizzly, but it should be a wonderful day at the beach. There won't be many people out there, so you can have it to yourself. Enjoy. Thanks very much, everybody. Have a great weekend.